When was the last time I took a road trip? How many national parks could I hit in 2 weeks? What about hotels? Wait, hey, Erica, how much am I spending on travel?
When your questions about life turn into questions about money, there's Erica, the virtual financial assistant to help you spend, save, and plan smarter. Only from Bank of America. What would you like the power to do? Erica is only available in the English language. You must download the latest version of the mobile banking app, only available on select mobile devices. Your chat may be recorded and monitored for quality assurance. Message and data rates and additional terms may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Hey, everybody. Just wanted to give you a quick heads up here. There's something we should all be doing. It's going to improve your life, make every day a little bit better, and that is eat more Reese's Peanut Butter Cups. Yes, think about it. All the gurus, all the coaches out there, they've never said the words, eat more Reese's. I mean, the combination of sweet chocolate and salty peanut butter, I mean, this is something that brings other people and ourselves joy. That's why there's 2 in a pack. Shop Reese's Peanut Butter Cups now at a store near you, found wherever candy is sold, and often in my pantry, because I love these. How is your sock drawer looking? I know when I open up mine, it is a sad scene. There's lone socks, holy socks. Well, guess what? It's spring cleaning, which means Bombas Spring Collection is here, and they have new garden party socks that bring the party to your feet. They've got stripes and florals, all new vintagey colored rib socks. I love them. They are the best sock your feet have ever been in. Get comfy this spring and give back with Bombas. Head on over to bombas.com/bonkers and use the code bonkers for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/bonkers. Use the code bonkers at checkout. Joni Mitchell, safety deposit box keys, and what the hell does plush mean? All this and more on a brand new How Did This Get Made? Last Looks. Places, everybody, hit the theme. Hello, all you plush division actors. I'm your host, Paul Scheer, and welcome to this special, supersized edition of How Did This Get Made? Last Looks. That's right, it's supersized because we took a little bit of a hiatus over the July 4th week, and today I'm going to address your issues on both Hypnotic and Sleepover. That's right, this is our Barbieheimer. We are combining two very diverse movies and going to talk about them here on the show. By the way, I don't get all the talk about the Barbieheimer. Like, I get it in a general sense, but I feel like we don't have that much to talk about, that we're so excited or weird out about how to watch these movies. We have such an allegiance to both things. Here is a clip I want to play for you of Tom Cruise being asked this question on a press line for his own movie. Which movie he was going to see first. Everyone's buying tickets for their own movies. I know we want to save movie theaters, but truly, it's gone out of hand. Listen to Tom Cruise have a little bit of a meltdown.
Are you going to watch Barbie or Oppenheimer first?
Oh, yeah. No.
If you had to choose one, because there's a bit of a debate.
No, what's great is you're going to see both on the weekend. I think it's like, you know, I haven't quite decided. It'll probably be like Oppenheimer first and then Barbie, I think. I think it's like you want like Oppenheimer's going to be on a Friday. Do you know what I mean? And then you can go. I'll probably see it in the afternoon. You want that packed audience. And then I want to see Barbie right afterwards with a packed audience. So Friday is like, you know, I used to plan my days where you start out early in the morning and you go to movies all day. And I like doing that, you know, and I'd go from one cinema to the next. And I'm going to do that. So I'm going to see them both opening day.
That's good advice.
I feel like in that clip, Tom Cruise was trying to say, oh, I want to see Oppenheimer first because it's going to bum me out and then Barbie's going to lift me up. But I feel like he caught himself in the middle of that and then tried to basically say he was going to watch one with his right eye and one with his left eye simultaneously. Anyway, I don't mean to take any shots on the great cinema choices that we have, even though we are on strike right now. That's right, writers, actors, we are on strike, and we may have some changes to the show, but nothing that you probably will notice. So I probably shouldn't even have mentioned it, but if we are talking about changes, there's a big one that just happened and has nothing to do with anything I just talked about. Stitcher Premium is gone. It's done. And it's a shock to me as much as it probably is to you. A lot of people have been asking, well, what do I do? I will pay for your back catalog. And I'm just going to say, we don't know what we're going to do yet. What we are planning on doing is opening up a lot more episodes that are available right now. We're still going to do our Matinee Mondays, and we want you to voice what episodes you want to hear in those Matinee Mondays. We're not going to pull out the entire catalog just yet. We have to figure out a plan. We were caught, and now we're going to figure it out. I don't know what we're going to do, but when I do, I will tell you what the plan is. Now, enough about that. Besides talking about Hypnotic and Sleepover, we also are going to go deep because Jason, June, and I, we took a weekend together. We didn't go on tour. We didn't do anything, but we all went up to see Joni Mitchell in her first ticketed event in over 20 years. It was magical. Jason and I will talk about that amazing weekend, and we're going to talk about next week's movie. Plus, we have an exclusive bonus scene, which we will play at the end of the episode. But first things first, a big shout out to Andy Jacob for that amazing theme song. Thank you, Andy. We love these songs. If you have a Last Looks theme song, send it to howdidthisgetmade@earwolf.com. But keep them short. 15, 20 seconds. Live in that world. Brevity, soul of wit. Anyway, just a heads up, we are going on tour. New Jersey, I'm looking at you. We added that date late. We're going to be in Red Bank, New Jersey. Tell your friends, tell your family. We might even have a very special guest. If what I'm working on comes through, oh boy, you're not going to want to miss it. We also have a special guest on our first night in Boston. And I'm going to say this person is a How Did This Get Made all-star. So every night is a great night. Limited tickets are available. I think that we're almost at 97% at every theater. So close to selling out. But there are still just a few seats left everywhere. But New Jersey, I'm looking at you. Red Bank, get the word out. Tell your friends. Come on, people. You're down at the Jersey Shore. Come go see How Did This Get Made. They're a bunch of good kids. Anyway, let's get into it. During our last two episodes, we talked at length about Hypnotic and Sleepover. We had questions, and we might have even missed a few things. Here's your chance to set us straight. Fact check us, if you will. It is now time for corrections and omissions. Hit the theme!
It's time for corrections and omissions. We got a couple things wrong, but we're gonna fix it right now. That's why we're singing this song. We're gonna take a couple phone calls. Maybe you know something we don't. Perhaps you can change our opinion. Corrections and omissions.
Our bad.
Wow, I love this name. Thank you, Brash Menagerie, for that great tune. First up, let's talk about Hypnotic. We're not going to be so scattered that I'll just go back and forth between Hypnotic and Sleepover questions. That would be confusing. We're going to focus first on the Ben Affleck Robert Rodriguez film Hypnotic, a film that, according to Discord user Bubble Alchemist, should have had the tagline, "You actually really like this movie." I guess I like it. Anyway, thank you, Bubble Alchemist, for that alt tagline. Let's go to the Discord. GT75 writes, "As a banker, the robbery scene was driving me nuts. Safe deposit boxes require two keys to open. There's a guard key, which the bank employees have and use with all deposit boxes. And then there is a customer key for each box that only the customer has when the box gets rented out. Stealing a manager's keys would have been useless for Ben Affleck. Short of breaking into the client's home to steal the customer key, there would be no way for that teller to steal the box. I know it's a construct, but it is one that could not have taken place at all." Well, I guess what you're saying is, GT75, the memory writers, the construct builders, were shitty writers. They didn't do their research. They didn't do their Nolan-esque research into how a bank works. And I guess on top of that, Ben Affleck is dumb enough to just go along with it. Anyway, Chunk Style, that's Mitch Kappa, writes, "Since the construct starts out with Ben Affleck thinking they're in Austin, then they flee to Mexico, does that mean in reality they had to drive around in circles in a golf cart for 4 hours? And did the Hypnotics give Affleck and Braga some sort of privacy when they hooked up, or did the Hypnotics watch like pervs from that balcony?" Oh, Mitch, you know that everyone was watching that hookup. I mean, it's gross. I mean, they're hypnotics. That's how they get off. You know, they get off by watching. That is like their OnlyFans. Setting up a construct and watching people fuck is hypnotics OnlyFans. It's a part of the movie that they really wanted to get in there, but they ran out of time. I'm so sorry. Sean McBee writes, the inherent flaw with the entire movie is that what The Division wants is for Ben Affleck to figure out who Lev Delrain is. So The Division constructs a scenario in which they tell him that Willem Fichtner is Lev Delrain. Then, rather than looking for the actual location of his daughter, he spends his time in the scenario looking for William Fichtner. Furthermore, if they don't want him to realize that he's a hypnotic, why introduce a concept of hypnotics in the scenario at all? Why not? I didn't think about that. Why not have a straightforward mystery for him to solve around figuring out Lev Delrain, which totally sounds like a normal and real name that a human person would have, without any of the Division hypnotic stuff? Yes, you're right. Why not just say, here is a clue that we have. It's a picture of a missing girl. It says Lev Delrain. What does that mean? God, this movie is dumb. Anyway, let's go to the phones. Mike from San Diego.
Hey, Paul, June, and Jason. Love everything you do. This is Mike from San Diego, originally El Segundo. There's an obvious connection that nobody talked about Hypnotic and your first quarantine movie, Bloodshot. They're basically the same movie. Both protagonists are under a simulation by an evil corporation to do their bidding. You know, Vin is trying to, he thinks he's trying to find the person who killed his wife, but really he's bumping off Guy Pearce's competition, and then Affleck, and, you know, trying to find his hidden daughter. Anyway, thought it was a great connection or omission that was no one brought up. Thanks. Love everything you do. Bye.
You are exactly right. Look, I love Vin Diesel, and I think Vin Diesel did a great job. There's been a lot of movies that have similar plots, but if you asked me to describe the movie Bloodshot, I would not have remembered it at all. You brought it all back to me. Wow. Look at that. Look at that. Drafting off Bloodshot. I remember Bloodshot was like the first movie that came out straight to VOD during COVID, and everyone bought it. Everyone was like, yeah, baby, Bloodshot. And you're like, oh, okay. It could have been something. That and Wonder Woman 84 really, really were blows to the system. It's like, oh, I get access to this stuff, but it's not good. It's not good. Anyway, so many great hypnotic corrections and omissions. But coming up after the break, we've got more questions, more comments, more concerns about sleepovers. Stick around. Today's podcast is brought to you by Squarespace. I love Squarespace. I'm in the middle of trying to balance my business life and my real life. This work-life balance, it's tough, but Squarespace has been helping me by giving me the tools to reach my goals and have time to celebrate. That's right. Squarespace is the all-in-one website platform for entrepreneurs to stand out and succeed online. With the guided design system of Squarespace Blueprint, you can select from curated layouts to styling options optimized for every device. Get your website discovered fast with integrated optimized SEO tools. Plus, make checkout easy for customers with easy-to-use payment tools. You can accept credit cards, PayPal, Apple Pay. Plus, with Squarespace AI, you can explain what your site is about, you choose your tone, and enter what you need to get auto-generated perfect text. Anyway, I love Squarespace. I've been building sites with them from the beginning, and when I launched my book, I said I'm doing it all myself on Squarespace, and I'm very pleased with it. Head to squarespace.com for a free trial, and when you're ready to launch, go to squarespace.com/bonkers to save 10% off your first purchase of a website or domain. I recently went to the Telluride Comedy Festival, and I was sick and tired of staying in the same kind of cookie-cutter places, and I went on Airbnb, and I found a perfect spot for me and the family. We had an amazing time because we felt like home. Then I realized, wait a second, what if I could give that feeling to someone else? Yes, that's the best part. When you're away, your home could be an Airbnb. That's right. Many people host on Airbnb, but there are people who have never thought about it or didn't even realize that their space could be an Airbnb. Hosting can easily fit into your lifestyle, and you can make someone feel great and make a little bit of money too, because we all need a little bit of money. And maybe your talent or your gift to the world is having a killer place. So if you have a home but aren't always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host. Today's episode is brought to you by Cap'n Crunch. Who said the kids get to have all the breakfast fun time? Break away from the ordinary with Cap'n Crunch and bring back the spirit of adventure to your mornings. Everyday life can be stressful, but a tasty bowl of Cap'n Crunch is an escape from morning monotony. Enjoy the bold flavors like original Cap'n Crunch, Crunch Berries, Oops All Berries, and Peanut Butter. Plus, the crunch you love is now available in cinnamon, and it is delicious, even in a sea of milk. The crunch of Cap'n Crunch is epic. Yes. My family is all in on the cinnamon Cap'n Crunch. I didn't think you could make it better, but they did. I love my Cap'n Crunch, and now I love sharing it with my kids. Join the crew for your next breakfast time crunch venture. Get Cap'n Crunch's new cinnamon crunch now at a retailer near you, and learn more at Cap'nCrunch.com. Or welcome back, people. Before we get into the sleepover last looks, let me just tell you, I'm a part of this amazing organization called the Union Solidarity Coalition. Like I mentioned, Hollywood is on strike right now, and the people that are not going to be affected by our new contracts once they finally happen are our crew members. That's right, Teamster and IATSE, brothers and sisters who have stood with us in solidarity, are going to lose their health care because they are not getting the hours to work because all productions are shut down. So me and a group of people got together to form the Union Solidarity Coalition, which is going to try to find some union solidarity and raise some money for people affected by the strike. We just had an event last weekend where we raised over $195,000. $195,000 for our IATSE and Teamster crew. And now we're continuing to raise money by starting an amazing auction. This auction is a celebrity auction like no other. You can have Nick Kroll call you in the voice of one of your favorite characters. I will pick your fantasy draft order. You can go on a walk with June Diane Raphael. You can eat corn dogs with Brett Gelman from Stranger Things. He plays Murray. You can get a vase from Seth Rogen. Smoke weed with Woody Harrelson. Justine Bateman has products that she's knitted. Lena Dunham has a quilted bikini up there. There are so many great things. If you're a fan of the Arrowverse, you know, the CW show Arrow, Mark Guggenheim will do an hour-long Zoom with you. Maggie Gyllenhaal is going to do a Zoom. Weird Al Yankovic, Daniel Radcliffe, all these people have given up such great stuff, not to mention autographs, Spider-Man posters, and Spaceball posters. It is truly a wealth of great, great stuff, and 100%. Of the proceeds go to the Motion Picture Television Fund healthcare so we can take care of our crew members who stand in solidarity with us. Now, back to the show. All right, welcome back. We've left Hypnotic in the past. Time to delve into corrections and omissions for the movie Sleepover, a movie that, according to Discord user Anna Smithsonian, could have had the tagline of Sleepover, colon, not police approved. Okay. if y'all remember Police Approved, that was the dating site that the girls were on where they had to police approve dating site. Anyway, thank you, Anna Smithsonian, for that alt tagline. Let's go to the Discord. Danimal, what do you got? So many of the cringy moments from the film were talked about in this episode, but there was one I noticed that went unmentioned. When the girls arrive at the high school dance, one of the teachers gets on stage and makes this announcement. Almost time for the big dance contest, and remember, anything goes. So just pretend that Mrs. Withers and I aren't here. What is with the creepy teachers in this town? You're right. I didn't even think about that. That's so bizarre. That's like Milk Money bizarre. Remember what happened in Milk Money at that end dance with Terrence Stamp and Melanie Griffith? These kids, no wonder Footloose came out. They need to control these kids. Dancing is evil. Dennis C. Abrams writes, our hosts, very formal, Dennis. Our hosts talked about the barefootness and the skateboarding, but not the barefoot downhill high-speed skateboarding. How could she have stopped or slowed down that skateboard without losing all the skin on her feet? Dennis Abrams, you are so right. That's our diehard moment. That's why we get connected to that character, because her feet are all torn up. We all want a sleepover, but we all know that you'll do anything to get it. And one of the things you'll do is rip off the bottom soles of your feet. Also, maybe she's just super fucking calloused. Maybe she just wears too tight shoes. Maybe she wasn't affected at all. And that's a whole other movie. Anyway, Dr. Guts, 1003, writes, perhaps this was included in Paul's timeline and not just mentioned in the episode, but from the moment Jane Lynch leaves the house for the night, it is pitch black outside. The movie takes place in June. There should still be some sunlight until 9:30. Well, Dr. Guts, I think you're wrong. I think you're wrong because that may just be where you live, not like just in general 9:30. I don't think it's as not bright out here in LA at 9:30. Somebody fact check that, not me. All right, let's go to the phones. First up, Juliana from New York.
Hi, Paul. This is Juliana from New York, but I also traveled all the way to New Orleans to see your show, the Hard Target show. Loved it. I had a question because Sleepover is one of my favorite movies. I watched it when I was a kid. I think I was around 8 when it came out, and I thought if you would have asked me then, I would have told you it was a perfect movie. I rewatched it before the show, and obviously, I realized it was not. It was very corny. But I did have a couple questions. First of all, what is plush? I mean, I never heard that term in the 2000s. And also, I only associate that with mattresses. So I thought that was odd. And second of all, did no one else think it was creepy that the fact that he just showed up in the treehouse? First of all, how do you get up there? Because that thing, like, collapsed on top of the house. And second of all, I just thought it was a little odd and creepy. But anyway, thanks so much. Love the show. Can't wait to see the New York show. I'm very excited. And thanks.
Well, Juliana, I don't know. I mean, plush, the way that I've heard it referred to could be like thick. But if I look online, plush also means, and this is the slang term, smart, comfortable, expensive. All right, so that feels more in line, right? So plush could also be like hot, awesome, fat, cool, dope, slick, ill, neat, good, soft and fluffy, stuffed animal, or stuffed toy, or just a nice way of saying a larger person. So there you go. That's what they say. I like plush as being expensive. I feel like that feels like in the tone of the film. All right. Wow. So many great corrections and omissions this week, but there can only be one that is the best. And boy, oh boy, two different movies. Two different things I have to think about. So many great ones. But you know what? I think the winner is simple. I think the winner is easy for me to pick. And that is, of course, going to be Sean McBee. Sean McBee, this theme is for you.
You win.
You win. Nothing at all.
But you're still cool.
The reason why Sean won is because he brought up the smartest point. If you're trying to make somebody forget that they are hypnotic, don't remind them they're hypnotic. Anyway, thank you, John Wenzel, for that theme. Thank you to Sean McBee for that observation. And now I'm going to tell you something to do. Because if you want to get in on this, if you want to get a theme like that made for you, well, just go to our Discord at discord.gg/httgm or call me at 619-PAUL-ASK. That's 619-PAUL-ASK, not Paul Ask. That is a private line that I'm using a lot more now because of the strike. You can submit alt taglines, chime in with your own thoughts, whatever you want to do, Discord and 619-PAUL-ASK. Coming up, Jason and I will chat about having the time of our lives, seeing Joni Mitchell. Plus, I will reveal next week's movie. And at the very end of the show, I'm going to share an exclusive deleted scene from our Hypnotic episode. So stick around. Here's something that we've known since the dawn of bread. Everything is better sliced. Let me explain. Slice a pineapple, you get a blast of fresh fruit. Slice some jeans, get some jorts. That's why the new Captain Morgan Sliced went all in on 4 bold, deliciously sliced cocktail-style flavors, including pineapple daiquiri, strawberry margarita, mango Mai Tai, and passion fruit hurricane. Try the new Captain Morgan Sliced because sliced is better. Visit CaptainMorgan.com to find sliced near you. Does not contain real fruit or juice. Captain Morgan Sliced, premium flavored malt beverage with natural flavor and certified color. Captain Morgan & Co., Plainfield, Illinois. Please drink responsibly. 21 plus. When you're thinking of hiring for your small business, you want to find quality professionals that are right for the role. That's why you have to check out LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn Jobs has the tools to help you find the right professionals for your team faster and for free. LinkedIn isn't just a job board. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching. And you know what? Did you know that 70% of users don't even visit other leading job sites? If you're not looking on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. LinkedIn knows that small businesses might not have the time or resources, so they're constantly finding ways to make the process easier. 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate in 24 hours, and they even just launched a feature that helps you write job descriptions, making the process even easier and quicker. Post your job for free at linkedin.com/valuable. That's linkedin.com/valuable to post your job for free. Terms and conditions apply. I was traveling with my kids. We stopped to get breakfast at Shake Shack, and my kids said, "Mom said we can have milkshakes." And I was so tired. It didn't make sense to me, but I was like, if June says the kids can have milkshakes, I'll get them milkshakes. I got them milkshakes. June's like, "I never said that." And you know what? I felt ripped off. I felt ripped off by my own kids. And that's the feeling I never like to have. I never like to get ripped off by anyone. And that's why Harry's started their company of Harry's Razors, because they saw customers getting ripped off by questionable products in the shaving industry, and they decided to do something better. That's right. They decided to do a razor that had a great price, high customer satisfaction, that had a no-risk trial, and they have other self-care products that meet the same quality standards as their razors, okay? I love the body wash, and they have deodorant that smells damn good. I gotta tell you, I love these razors. They are perfect, and now I am a paying subscriber. That's right. So do not settle for the status quo. Blaze your own trail with Harry's. Get started with a $13 trial set for just $3. That's right. Go to harrys.com/bonkers. That's harrys.com/bonkers for a $3 trial set. All right, welcome back. Just a reminder, every single week we are releasing an old episode from the vault. There is no vault anymore, or no access to the vault anymore. So now it's up to you to help us pick what you want to hear on Matinee Monday. Head to our Discord, tell us on social, whatever. We're going to give you the best of the best. But last week we had a replay of one of my favorite episodes, Teen Witch, with special guest Deanna Chang. So keep on checking out those replays every Monday. Now, you probably heard us mention in the sleepover episode that we saw Joni Mitchell right before the movie, and it kind of affected us while watching it. So Jason and I sat down to chat about this amazing concert and a lot more. Tom McWaters, play us into Just Chat.
We're gonna have ourselves a conversation, just chat. No quarantine or vaccination, just chat. Paul and Jason, a couple of cats, just chat, just chat, just chat. Shoo-be-doo-boo-boo-boo-boo-boo.
Jason, it's been a few weeks.
And here we are.
Here we are once again. We haven't talked about this on the show, but you and I experienced a night unlike any other.
I don't
recently.
Even know. Here's what I'll say. I would love to talk about this. To talk about it without June is going to infuriate
I
June.
Know.
We should
I know.
Do a last looks about okay. the fact that we went to Seattle and we saw Joni Mitchell play live at the Gorge, Amphitheater, which was stunning.
It is unbelievable. The venue is unbelievable. It is like a concert venue on the edge of the Grand Canyon.
It's
like
fucking absolutely gobsmackingly, disgustingly gorgeous.
Oh, man alive. It was it was stunning. Like, I was really just basking in the glow. And for people who don't know, this is the first ticketed Joni Mitchell concert in over 20 years, right?
Joni Mitchell had an aneurysm in, I think, 2016 or 2015, mm-hmm. and was in decline, and then has kind of, through rehabilitation, kind of been coming out of it. And Brandi Carlile, the artist Brandi Carlile, has really been kind of, I feel like, you know, engaging in these jam days, these jam sessions, where a lot of, you know, cool people go over to Joni's house and they all just play music together. and then Joni joins in. And so,
and I think a lot of people probably saw about a year ago, maybe 2 years ago, the Newport Jazz Festival. This was the first kind of public outing of Joni Mitchell in a long time. She came out on stage with this grouping of people and performed with Brandi Carlile, and it was awesome.
It was
people
incredible.
Lost their minds.
It was incredible. It was a surprise appearance. That was the other thing. It was a surprise appearance, and you know, like you said, Joni hadn't been seen in years. And that in and of itself was this huge thing. And so then they announced they were going to do this concert, and it was the same setup, a jam. And it was, you know, Brandi Carlile was kind of facilitating it along with a lot of the people in her band. And then
by the
also,
way, I left a Brandi Carlile fan. Like, I went in going, I know her, and I like her. She's fine. Like, not fine, but like, I didn't have an opinion solidly. I just like, I know that some songs, and that's great. But I left a massive fan.
Oh, yeah. I went to the night prior. You guys weren't there the night prior. The night before the Joni concert at the Gorge was a Brandi Carlile concert. Just Brandi Carlile and her band, as well as some of the special guests that joined for the Joni concert as well, joined Brandi on Friday night. And that was
Annie Lennox there?
Annie Lennox was there.
Annie Lennox.
Yeah.
Wow.
Annie Lennox.
Wow.
What control of that instrument. Annie Lennox came in both nights and just demolished. She was so
demolished
good.
In a way that, look, everyone is singing. Everyone is up on this. It was, again, one of the most impressive things I've ever seen. I am pretty positive that you'll all be able to see it because I believe Cameron Crowe captured
it. I counted seven at least cameras on it, and I saw Cameron Crowe there. So
I saw four drones.
Yes,
like capturing it.
Yep.
Now, how were your seats?
Oh, they were good. I was in like the front center kind of, you know.
So good. We were a little bit on the side, but down low there, it was great. But Annie Lennox.
It was Annie Lennox. Because the other thing that was cool, and I shouldn't have told you, that was the mistake I made on Friday night. Brandi Carlile brought out both Annie Lennox and Sarah McLachlan, both of whom sang their own songs with Brandy's band, which was also great. But on Saturday night, I wish I hadn't told you that Annie Lennox and Sarah McLachlan had played the night before, because they would have then been surprises to you on Saturday night, because it was so fun when they just showed up. But
it was
Annie Lennox singing Ladies of the Canyon, and then Sarah McLachlan playing piano and singing Blue was just incredible.
First of all, can I just say one thing about Sarah McLachlan? How does she look younger than she looked in 1992?
Marry me, Sarah McLachlan. Wow.
I was like, her tendrils were stealing the show.
She was.
Those like little wisps.
The first night she came out, because again, totally a surprise, unannounced, came bounding from side stage barefoot and just came out and sang Sarah McLachlan songs. Like, it was great. But she sang Blue beautifully.
Everybody just got up there. And I will say this, and you are much more of a connoisseur of music. I enjoyed what I saw at the Newport Jazz Festival. It was amazing. But I will say, the difference between Joni Mitchell at Newport and what we saw on Saturday at the Gorge was night and day.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like I was blown away by her performance.
She was being a rascal. She was telling stories. She was telling stories about Bob Dylan and Van Morrison. She was doing jokes. She had Prince stories. Wendy and Lisa were both there and told great stories about being in Prince's band. And I loved the story that Prince hired Wendy and Lisa because when he heard them play, they sounded like Joni Mitchell. And he loved Joni. In a way, they were telling stories about how important Joni was to Prince, you know, and that was cool.
The fact that she told the story about Prince coming over to her house, sitting at her piano and starting to play a song, and Joni's like, "What's that?"
Yeah.
And he's like, "It's A Case of You." Yeah. And she's like, "Oh, yeah." Like, she had the energy of the most rascally grandma yes. that you've ever had, like to the point where it's, sometimes I was a little bit nervous, like, is she going to say something that she shouldn't be saying? But she was,
oh, she was
fully in control,
mischief.
Fully funny,
mischief. She was, and that's the difference. And her voice, she sang like, because, you know, her voice is not as good as it has been in years
past.
It's
changed.
You know, it's, her voice changed, absolutely. Her voice changed just in general. From the high alto that she had during the folk days, she even changed it through drinking and smoking purposefully. She always wanted to sound like, have a deeper voice. So even when you go from, you know, like Ladies of the Canyon to Hejira or Don Juan's Reckless Daughter, that's two different voices. Never mind then Turbulent Indigo and the albums later into the 80s and 90s, well, even different
people
voice.
Were mad at me because I made them play Twisted on the way to the venue, which is like when she's doing like a, like the way Twisted sounds, it almost is like the theme for that Fran Drescher show, like
The Nanny.
The Nanny. Yeah, it has like a little ba-da-da-da-da.
Analyst told me that I was right out of my head. The way he described it, he said I'd be better dead than life.
And it's great. It's a great song. It's but you realize like how much she has done and ways that
voice,
she has sang.
Her voice this weekend sounded so much stronger than it did at Newport. So much so because, you know, you've got people. There's so much. The duo Lucius was there. The two singers, Lucius. And a lot of times if you watched Brandy or Lucius or other people were doubling Joni's voice, not doubling it subtly, doubling it to fill out where Joni was missing pieces or was joining, and she would kind of come in and out. But then Joni just solo sang Summertime, and it was incredible. She sang a number of songs on her own and just was, it was devastating.
As somebody who does live events like yourself, I'm always impressed by how people put together a live show.
Yeah.
And this is a live show that has like a lot of question marks to it because obviously they're going to tape it. They want to do it right because the Newport Jazz Festival, I think, was a surprise appearance. They weren't really prepared for it, even though they were releasing an album for it. And I feel like Cameron Crowe set her up for such success.
Totally.
Because the way that it was built and structured was if Joni was at 60%, it would still be 100% concert. You know, like there was an energy to it that she didn't even need to be there because everything around it was built to be this other thing. It wasn't maudlin. It wasn't sad. It was fun. It was happy. It was light. But what I got out of watching that, and Brandi Carlile, great MC throughout the whole thing, like adjusting mics throughout the entire festival, but was that Joni at points were pushing off people, almost like the idea of like, oh, let's help you stand. Like, got it. I got it. And so much so that you could almost see certain people like, oh, wow, we weren't expecting you to jump in as much as you were. Or even
she's no bullshit, man. Like Joni is no bullshit and was like, was back to that. Yeah. Like you said, that rascally no bullshit vibe and was like there to like have a great time. And she looked like, I kept being like, she's having so much fun.
Yes.
You can see
100%
how much fun she's having. Even when she wasn't singing, when the artist Celise, who sang and played guitar, just Joni watching Celise was incredible. Like Joni, you know, like we've mentioned a number of people, but there was even more. Blake Mills, I think, unsung hero of the night.
Oh, yeah.
Playing amazing. Joni's guitar. Mumford on percussion. Matt Chamberlain, like one of my all-time favorite drummers in the whole world. Matt Chamberlain, unbelievable. When he showed up at Brandi Carlile's set on Friday, I was like, shit, that's Matt Chamberlain. Incredibly incredible band.
I needed you nearby because I spent the rest of the night Googling everybody up there.
Oh, yeah.
I'll tell you the one person I walked away with a real love for, and I even texted you about this, but the whole night it's a Joni concert where people are leading the way, kind of doing covers, their own versions of it. Sometimes she's joining in, sometimes she's watching. She's also very active throughout the entire thing. But the one thing about this night is while it is a jam, everything that they're covering is primarily Joni songs or songs that Joni wants to do,
yes.
like Love Potion number 9
yeah.
or Young at Heart,
oh.
right?
Joni doing Young at Heart really wrecked me.
Tales could be true that happened to you if you're young at heart. For it's hard you will find to be narrow of mind if you're young at heart.
Oh, it was amazing. Now, we get to about mid-show, and Annie Lennox has performed, right? Who just brought down the house. And then we throw to a man named Rick. A man named Rick who was an ageless man who, if you told me he was just out of college or just going into a retirement home, I would say,
right. Why not? Yes.
Why not? And Joni was like, I don't want Rick to do one of my numbers. He's an emerging artist, and I want him to do one of his own numbers.
Yeah.
And it was, and I was like, ooh, I wonder what this is going to be. And he killed it. He killed
he
it
killed
with
it.
His song.
But it's like, you know, what if your one song, you know, he's like he's a friend of Joni's. He plays it all because they do these jams at Joni's house. Like,
yes.
I don't know, a couple times a year or monthly or something like that. I'm not sure how often, but and he's a mainstay of those things. And for him to, though, come out and he's not it's not a name that you would know. He's not a recognizable artist.
Rick Whitfield is his
Rick
name.
Rick Whitfield.
He's got two albums on Spotify. One is a Christmas album.
Oh, wow.
And one is, you know, another album he released a while ago.
But imagine like your
Smokehouse.
Yeah, exactly. Imagine you're used to playing the Smokehouse, which is like a steakhouse restaurant here in L.A. And then you are playing for 27,000 people at the Gorge.
Your original
your
song.
Own
now,
song.
Meanwhile, every song, Big Yellow Taxi,
yeah.
you know, Sex Kills, like all these songs are being played and everyone is so in. And it's like, hey, we're going to do
yeah.
an original. And it's so clearly like Joni's want because she loves this guy.
Oh, yeah.
And I just loved that. I loved it. I loved that vibe, because I think at the end of the night, what I really took away from that event was anyone could have been there. Everyone
yeah,
probably
yeah.
wanted to be there. But because they kept it to people like Wendy and Lisa and this crew, this world that she's created, they really captured the spirit of the jam. So it, like, there's another version of this where you just rotate in another famous person, another famous person, another
yeah.
famous person. But they kept... They really kept the core. I think truly the only two people that were outsiders of that entire group were Sarah McLachlan and
yes,
Annie Lennox.
Totally.
And
I was so glad that this was, it wasn't, okay, and that's such a good point. And just to piggyback on it, I'm so glad this didn't feel like a tribute to Joni
no,
Mitchell.
Exactly.
Like, here we all are. We're all going to sing Joni Mitchell songs in front of her. It was, no, this is a Joni Mitchell concert. But everybody who's on stage, the band, are also going to be showcased, you know?
Yes.
And yes, Annie Lennox and Sarah McLachlan sang their own interpretations of Joni songs. But beyond, you know, like, Brandi Carlile didn't even sing her own Joni song, you know?
No.
And a lot of this grew out of, this is a bunch of years ago, maybe 5 or 6 years ago, Brandi Carlile performed all of Blue as a concert. All of Joni
okay.
Mitchell's Blue as a concert. And so I saw Brandi Carlile here at the Palladium, I don't know, in 2018 or 2019 probably, and she played a couple of songs from Blue, and it was incredible. And I was like, whoa, this is next level. You know that, side note, you know that Brandi Carlile is incredible. I love it, because now that you're a new fan, I really love Brandi Carlile. She's done all this Joni stuff. She has also been singing with and is actively trying to get Soundgarden to go on tour with her as their lead singer, the remaining
Whoa.
Members of Soundgarden. She's played live with them, I think, once or twice. She's played with all of the band, but with just like a couple of songs, I think, at a festival, at something like that. I'm not sure if I have all these details right, so forgive me if I'm getting something wrong, but I know that she wants to front some version of Soundgarden, which I think would be incredible.
Well, that would be fantastic. I think what I really appreciate sometimes, too, and, you know, I think that there was such a period of time that I grew up where bands were too cool to kind of communicate with the audience a little bit.
Sure.
I've seen more of it lately, and I really feel like she put on a show that really brought you in. And in a way, like, she described the show, I love this, I think about this a lot. She was like, tonight you're going to see, you know, when you shake a snow globe and you see the snow falling down around a house and you look in the windows and you wonder, like, what's going on in those windows? Like, that's what you're going to see. Like, we're creating that. And I feel like that was the vibe. It felt so homey and small. Like, there are certain people on that stage that are just friends of Joni. One guy who I think might be her boyfriend, another older woman who just seems to be a friend. They're not singing. They're not doing anything. They're just around. They have pictures of her dogs on stage. It was really, really cool. And it was so good that when I said to June, you know, she's actually playing in Germany in October, June's like, I think we should go.
I would go. Happily.
I mean, it would be amazing.
Yeah.
But it really was.
I love that it's like, it's not just we're honoring this person or, like I said, a tribute.
Yeah, it wasn't
or
maudlin. It felt very alive.
It felt very exciting and vibrant and alive. And it felt like from a place of what I liked about Brandi Carlile in this regard and in also kind of the Soundgarden thing is I love to your point, she's not cool, so cool as to not be a vocal fan of things.
Yes.
And that's what I love.
Yeah.
You know, like, she is out there championing all of these other artists, you know, and that's what's, and giving everybody their due and making sure everybody gets showcased and everybody, there's just something there's a generosity to it that feels really impressive. And I think that's the case for a lot of musicians and bands now. I don't think it's as competitive or as like fuck them, it's us kind of the vibes of the older generations of rock acts and stuff.
No, yeah, there's something really, really amazing about, like, we're there because we're fans and they're there because they're fans. Like, right? Like, it's like,
it felt if you YouTube, there's a great video of Joni playing Coyote, one of my favorite songs off of my absolute favorite album of all time, Hejira. I think it's in Roger McGuinn's house from the Byrds. He's there. She's playing it in front of Bob Dylan, who's just kind of like nervously watching her. And it's like, it reminded me of what I know of those Laurel Canyon days when everybody from Zappa to the Monkees to Joni to Crosby, Stills, Nash, you know, Peter Tork, they would all be, you know, the Mamas and the Papas. They all lived in the canyon and they would all go to each other's houses and jam. And that feels, and the video I'm talking about on YouTube feels like that. And that's what Saturday night felt like.
Well, let's end this last looks by kind of highlighting some things. If you are engaged by this, I know there's a great documentary about the Laurel Canyon music scene, right?
But there's two of them. The one that I think is that I like more is a two-parter, and it documents that whole scene, and it's really very good. The other one that I don't like as much is the Jacob Dylan one from the Wallflowers.
Yes.
And he assembles
the
like
Godzilla soundtrack.
Yeah. He assembles like Beck and a lot of contemporary artists to talk about, and there is a lot of talking about the Laurel Canyon scene and how impactful and important it was to the musicians of that generation. And so you see, it's a little bit more modern people interpreting that stuff and talking about how important and impactful it was for them. That was a little less interesting to me. The one I loved is the other one that I think is called...
Is it called Laurel, just Laurel
Canyon? It might just be called Laurel Canyon. I can't remember.
I'm looking at it right now.
Oh, good.
Believe.
Oh, they...
Yeah, and this one's called Laurel Canyon. The official trailer is on YouTube. It's made by Madman Films.
Okay.
Which seems about right.
Yeah, it's fantastic. That one, I loved that movie. There's also, if you want to go down the rabbit hole of live Joni performances, there is a, she put out a release that is the entirety of the Isle of Wight concert that is 1970 and is fantastic. And the one that I really love is Shadows and Light is what it is. Shadows and Light. And that has like Jocko and Pat Metheny and it's a fucking, the band is incredible. It's late. I think it's 79 or 1980. I can't remember what year, but it's an absolute murderer's row in terms of the band, and it's a great show, and it's, I think almost all of it is on YouTube, and that's really incredible. As well as there are just there's a treasure trove on YouTube of like Joni Mitchell live on the Dick Cavett show, Joni Mitchell live on this show. And it's you can chart the progress of Joni from Canadian television in the late 60s all the way through to like now. You know, because people have put up YouTube videos, have already been putting up YouTube videos from Saturday night.
It is amazing. And you can also, speaking of like YouTube videos, you were talking about Brandi Carlile and Soundgarden.
Oh, yeah.
There's plenty of
her doing
Black Hole Sun. You know, you have her Searching With My Good Eye Closed. You know, there are things. And she has said in Rolling Stone, like you said, she wants to be Soundgarden's new singer.
Yeah, but I love that.
What would you recommend to me as somebody who is now getting into Brandi Carlile? Like, where should I go? Or do you have any recommendations for me?
You know, I would just, I mean, she doesn't have, like, you can just dig in. You know what
Got
I mean?
It.
Like, obviously, like, the last couple of albums have been hugely impactful, but, like, I think Brandi Carlile has been making great music forever. So I think just roam around and find stuff, you know?
I love that. Now, she was a part of Highway Women, and this is like...
High Women is... No, it makes sense because it's a play on the Highwaymen.
Highwaymen, got it.
Which is, you know, Willie Nelson, Merle Haggard, which was the Outlaws. Basically, all
right.
The Outlaw guys did the Highwaymen. So this is an answer to that. It's Maren Morris,
Amanda Schreier,
Brandy, and someone
Natalie Hemby.
Okay, that's who I'm forgetting. And they're great. That is the bummer that I'm sad I missed. They played on Sunday night at the Gorge. And I admit that was the one night I couldn't make. So I was disappointed. But I've never seen the High Women, but I think I've seen them play. I've seen videos of them, and it's great. Their harmonies are fantastic.
Well, I love this. This is a little entry point in. And of course, like we said, the Newport album is coming out that was just recently remastered.
And if you are at all interested, go, the Joni Mitchell archive is incredibly active right now. They've been remastering, reissuing. They're putting out box sets of stuff. The Joni Mitchell archive is absolutely worth checking out if you want Joni stuff, if you're obsessed with Joni Mitchell.
All right, well, then that's a little table setting for everybody to go on the journey that we are in our house are deeply in right now, listening to a lot of this stuff and kind of trying to get back to that amazing feeling of that night. So a different last looks for you. And
can I say one last thing?
Please.
Don't be discouraged by the fact that Joni Mitchell's music isn't on Spotify.
Yes, I
she
found
pulled
that out.
It off. Yes. She pulled it off when Neil Young pulled his stuff off and a bunch of other people did. And it's not gone back on yet, but you can still find it. You can still support Joni by going to other places. And
by the way, it's on Apple. It's Apple Music.
It's on all the other streamers. You'll still find it anywhere. You can stream this music. Don't be discouraged by the fact that it's not on Spotify.
What I will say, though,
is
what you will find on Spotify are amazing covers, like Bonnie Raitt covers. And they're like, she is truly, you know, probably one of the most covered artists of all time.
And there are so many songs that their most iconic version is someone else's version, like Woodstock.
Yeah.
a lot of people don't know that Crosby, Stills, and Nash, Woodstock is a Joni Mitchell song.
Wow, look at that, you see?
I'll go one further. Not only did Joni Mitchell write Woodstock and Crosby, Stills, Nash, and Young performed it, but Joni Mitchell wasn't at Woodstock because she had to stay in New York to film the Dick Cavett show the next day. And so she missed Woodstock. So the song Woodstock is written out of like FOMO. Like she wrote Woodstock because of everything everybody was telling her about it. And she felt so jealous or upset that she hadn't been there. She wrote the song, the definitive song about Woodstock having not been there. She's the best.
Come on. Oh boy, oh boy. All right. We'll check in with you next time.
Goodbye.
All right. Thank you, Jason. Now that we got Hypnotic and Sleepover out of the way, let's talk about next week's movie. We are going from the end of middle school to the end of the world. That's right. Next week, we are watching Absolution, starring Mario Lopez, Jamie Presley, and Richard Grieco. Here is a short breakdown of the plot. Most of Earth has been destroyed by an asteroid, but a small military colony called New America has managed to survive in the Arctic. By the way, I did not know that from the actual movie. When a soldier goes missing at the colony, authorities send an undercover agent to investigate. There are no reviews for this movie on Rotten Tomatoes, so instead we turn to Letterboxd, where user Fred Coleman writes, "This movie is Full Metal dog shit." All right, let's take a listen to the trailer.
An alien invasion.
Brian K. Murphy?
That's me.
Andy Quintana. It's my duty to welcome you to Foreman Military Academy, New American Colony.
A futuristic army. Only one man can save the human race. Mario Lopez.
I obey any and all orders you command.
Jamie Presley.
I've been here all night. And I haven't been ravaged once.
Absolution.
All right, we are now at the end of this episode. Before we go, check out this bonus scene from our Hypnotic show where we talk more about the actors in The Division.
If I'm in The Division too, because The Division is essentially a repertoire group of actors. Like, it's just a group of actors acting.
It's Patti LuPone, it's Kevin Kline.
And I found it shocking that there's only been one child, because actors as a whole are very horny people.
Yes.
They're always having sex with each other. And so only two Hypnotics ever had a baby?
Well, here's something I want to talk to you about.
It's against the law?
Well, here's what I'll say. I want to talk to two of these points. First of all, it does...
Guys, I'm having a great time. I really was like, this movie's so dumb. And I'm like, oh, man. I love it.
I was watching the movie, and one of my notes I wrote down early was, where are all the fucking people? Like, this must be a COVID movie because there are no background. Like, very, very, very empty scenes. And then I was like, oh, 36 Hypnotics. They can't fill all the scenes. They
except
gotta
for
like,
Mexico City.
Yeah.
They put all of them into that one. Because he's moving from elevator to thing, They gotta get basketball. They're driving around town. Mexico, they all could just run in. You know?
Yes.
Okay, so all I'm saying is that is the reason why there's not that many people. I think it is against the law in Hypnotic world. But I want to ask the audience.
Think it's against the law for the Red Blazers to have sex with each other?
Yes, to produce.
To produce, so they can have sex for pleasure.
But what you say, what they do say is that
I also love that you said produce and not reproduce.
Well, they produce a lot of great stuff.
You
like
guys,
this construct.
You guys can fuck, but you better not produce.
But did
you... Oh, I'm not going to Ralph's. I'm going to Gelson's for its produce.
I just want to also speak to June's point. I really want to say to you, June, what an honor it would be to be the bank teller, because you're working on your craft. Your job in real life is to go up to the CEO, the prime minister. You have to be like, I need my instrument oiled. Like, you want to be getting these small parts. I am the bank manager. I am the hot woman.
Yeah.
The temperature hot woman. And I And to me, what a great honor to play all these roles. Listen, what better way to learn? And maybe that back lot is their training grounds for new hypnotics.
What you're absolutely right about is to be at the division is basically like going to Juilliard. It's getting a MFA. It's getting...
Because Michael Shannon was a hypnotic.
And it's so interesting because actually these hypnotics have probably, well, I don't really know. I can't speak for them, obviously, but not a lot of interest in acting and performing. And so
that's all they do.
That's what I'm saying. That's what's so fascinating about watching their work is that their whole job is to get into other people's minds, not to like embody others. I thought.
Yes.
Oh, no, you're right.
No, they need to embody.
Now they do because of circumstance. But
right, but I think their thing is to make people in the world do their bidding.
Do their bidding. So
it's like when Tom Cruise puts on the mask in Mission Impossible. He's like,
I think that's true, yeah.
Yeah, it's like he's hypnotic, but he's got to use a fucking mask. They don't need
But you
to
know
wear
what
mask.
Tom Cruise doesn't do when he's about to go on a mission?
What?
He doesn't say to Ving Rhames and Simon Pegg places, everybody. He fucking knows what he's up to. He's not.
I'm
about,
sure.
Thank you, 2 minutes. Thank you, two.
I'm pretty positive. What? I'm pretty positive somebody clapped their hands together and said, it's showtime.
All right, that's it for our show. Please remember to rate and review. It helps. And if you listen on an Apple Podcast, make sure you are following us. You can visit us on social media at HDTGM. A big thank you to our producers, Scott Sani and Molly Reynolds, our movie picking producer, Avril Halley, our engineer, Casey Holford, and Jess Cisneros, who makes those amazing social media videos. All right, thank you so much, and we will see you next week for Absolution.
Start clean with Clorox, because Clorox delivers a powerful clean every time. Because messes happen. Because...
Hey, listen, remember how you told me to toss those takeout containers before we left for vacation? And you were like, I'm serious. If that leaks over the counter, it'll be a slimy abomination by the time I get back. And I was like, yeah, of course. Don't worry about it. I won't forget. Well.
Ooh, yeah, that happens. So start clean with Clorox. Use Clorox products as directed. Rinse after use if in contact with food surface.
Save big money on everything now at Menards. Make quick work of your outdoor cleaning project with Masterforce outdoor and landscaping tools. The 80-volt cordless trimmer is powerful, efficient, and hassle-free, so you spend less time working on your yard and more time enjoying the results. On sale now through May 19th. Check out our wide selection of Masterforce tools and see the rest of our deals on Menards.com. Save big.